John, the first planet outside our solar system was only discovered in 1995. Yet in the short time since, scientists have confirmed multiple hundreds of such planets with many, many, many more to come.
With all the planets out there and with more being discovered every day, I'm guessing some interplanetary cruise line is putting together a vacation package for me even as we speak.
Yeah, that's what you might think, but it may not be true. It may turn out that Earth is a pretty special place when it comes to being congenial to Earthlings like myself. Oh, and yourself too. What do you say we talk about that? This is Science Matters. I'm Jerry McCoy.
And I'm John Henshaw. What is it that makes planet Earth so agreeable to life?
It's a number of things. Let's start with the big picture, a galaxy-sized picture of where Earth is located. Current thinking suggests that if a planet is too close to the center of its galaxy, it's more liable to be blasted by lethal radiation from a supernova or by matter falling into the galaxy's central black hole. Yet too far from the galactic center, and there may not be enough elements to build a rocky planet.
So there may be something like a sweet spot for planets in the middle of a galaxy to support complex life. And I'm guessing that Earth is fortuitously parked right in the middle of that sweet spot.
It's referred to as the galactic habitable zone, and scientists estimate that no more than 10% of all stars in our own galaxy are in the zone. Something similar exists for the distance a planet can be from its mother star to be friendly to complex life. It's called the circumstellar habitable zone.
Sounds like when it comes to life-friendly planets, it's location, location, location.
Liquid water is essential to all known forms of life, but a planet is unlikely to boast liquid water if it's too close or too far from its sun. The habitable zone for our solar system, for example, is the region, rather small, between Venus and Mars, right where Earth sits.
Score another one for planet Earth.
With more to come. All stellar habitable zones are not created equal. They depend on the mass and the age of the host star. Take the star's mass. If the star is small, its habitable zone will also be small, and close enough to the star to create other obstacles for life. Too large, and the star will burn out too quickly and go supernova before interplanetary vacationers will have had a chance to unpack their bags. When it comes to mass and age, though, our sun turns out to be just right.
Jerry, this is starting to sound a little bit like Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
Scientists estimate that in our galaxy, fewer than 10% of all stars have masses that are just right for a quality habitable zone. And have I mentioned that at least half of all stars do not fly solo like our sun, but are joined by one or more companion stars? Planets in such star systems experience confusion as to which star to call mom, leading to unstable orbits and
disrupted vacation beach parties. Another victory for planet Earth. So what other factors play into Earth being such a great home?
Let's talk about the shape of a planet's orbit. When it comes to shape, circular is good. The more circular a planet's orbit, the more uniform the sunlight it receives. Too oval shape or eccentric, and the planet will get too much variation in sunlight. Not good for hosting complex life like us.
Earth, with its nearly circular orbit, has to show up well in this regard.
Of the several hundred known extrasolar planets whose orbits we've measured, over 97% have orbital eccentricities, or oval-shapedness, greater than Earth's, with many planets having much greater eccentricities.
I've always thought you were sort of eccentric, Jerry.
Well, thank you. Then there's something called obliquity, the angle between a planet's equatorial plane and its orbital plane.
Earth's obliquity is the tilt that accounts for our four seasons.
Obliquity, or tilt, ensures that a planet's climate is neither too hot nor too cold, as first one pole and then the other points more toward the sun.
So is a good amount of planetary tilt uncommon?
Well, current thinking is that happy tilts are not common. But the real picture is only just now beginning to take shape as we discover and study more extrasolar planets. One thing is certain, at 23.5 degrees, Earth's tilt is apparently just right for life. And interestingly, if it weren't for the moon's gravitational influence, Earth's happy obliquity might turn sad in a big hurry. No other planet in our own solar system has such a friendly, stable tilt as planet Earth.
Any other amenities I should have on my list before I call my interplanetary travel agent?
You might want to consider planetary mass and composition. A welcoming planet needs to be massive enough to hold on to an atmosphere, yet not so overly massive that plate tectonics are hindered.
Plate tectonics being the movement of the crustal plates that form a planet's surface.
They're thought to be responsible for several factors necessary for complex life to thrive. It won't surprise you to learn that Earth tips the scales in the range friendly to life. In our own solar system, out of the 9 or 8 planets, only Venus and Mars would qualify.
Okay, and what about composition?
A planet must contain more than just the elements basic to life, such as carbon. It's also got to have a host of other elements. Silicon and iron, for example, both make plate tectonics possible. As another example, without the radioactive elements that permeate Earth's core, there would not be the heat to keep the core liquid. And then Earth would not have a magnetic field to shield us from the continuous wind of solar particles that would otherwise extinguish life.
Okay. I've decided to pass on my extrasolar planet vacation plans. There would appear to be no place like planet Earth.
Now, I didn't say that. Given the mind-boggling number of stars in our universe, it's entirely possible that there will turn out to be many, many planets orbiting those stars that are well-suited to complex life. It's just too soon to tell.
So I should hold off till next year on that vacation?
Well, suit yourself. But I'll say this. If life-friendly planets are out there, they may be so far separated, perhaps many thousands of light years, that you may just want to save on gas and schedule your vacation a little closer to home sweet home.
Well, if nothing else, you've convinced me of one thing.
And I think I know what that is.
Take care of planet Earth.
From the University of Tulsa, this is Science Matters. I'm Jerry McCoy.
And I'm John Henshaw.